All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Little John Mayer, 303. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the Mets and their victory last night. If you want to roll
me, then you got to roll me all night long.
You a John Mayer fan?
I think I was wearing a John Mayer shirt the other day.
Oh, were you? I didn't notice that. Yeah. John Mayer, underrated guitar player, man. Nobody talks about what an incredible guitar player John Mayer is.
You know why, by the way? He's huge, known. He's 6'4". His hands are that big. That's why he's so great.
Oh, that's why he's so great. Oh, I thought you were wondering. I thought you were asking me why so many people don't talk about it. Yeah, why he's underrated. Because I think he's more known for his songs necessarily than his guitar playing. But he's actually one hell of a guitar player. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about John Mayer all morning, am I? I could.
Same.
But I won't. Oh, I got a real John Mayer fan on the other side. All right. Huge victory for the Mets. And just, I mean, the place was rocking. And kudos to Met fans. You packed the building. The atmosphere is playoff like. This is awesome. Like me and Remy. Are you a chef underneath a hat?
I am.
Yeah.
Not under the hat, but
me and Rami were just talking about it.
Talk about that movie all morning too.
The idea, Evan Roberts put out a tweet. Now I've been having some fun in saying pennant race baseball is fun because it is. This is the best. Like right now, what we are having right now, to if you're a giant Met fan, right? Or a Jet Met fan last week on Thursday. Like if you are a giant Met fan, and I mean New York Giants and then Met fan, not a giant Met fan. You watched earlier in today and you finally got a victory from your team. Daniel Jones played really well. The offense scored points. It feels like Neighbors is a stud. You watched the football game. They won. Just flat out, the Giants won. It's very rare in September. The Giants won. And then you turned on the TV for Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN broadcast. I know we all hate it, but... And you watched your Mets defeat the Philadelphia Phillies to win 3 out of 4 over the weekend and set yourself up for heading into the most important series of the year with a 2-game lead. I mean, this is what it's about, and the idea that it got tense, so what we're talking about is, I've been saying pennant race baseball is fun. Evan Roberts, the biggest Met fan I know, bar none. Maybe the biggest Met fan ever, I don't know. Tweeted out, this is not fun. In the middle of, I don't know, it was either the 8th or 9th inning, probably the 9th when they had the two guys on. You're out of your mind if you didn't enjoy last night, while you were going through it. I know everyone enjoys it now. They won. If you didn't enjoy going through it, then I don't know what to tell you. Then you're not as big a Met fan as you thought, because this is what it's about. This is what those moments is what it's about. Taking your pitcher out in the after the 4th inning because you don't want him to go through the order the 3rd time because he's McGill and because you have a lock and loaded bullpen and you're trying to win that game because this is playoff baseball. And I thought Mendoza, who's had a tremendous year and should be in consideration for manager of the year. Like, what he's done with this team, what a brilliant job. And in this game, he managed with such urgency, and rightfully so. This is the season right here. You do not want to head into Atlanta only 1 game up. Where if you lose the series, yes, you're still only tied, but you lose the tiebreaker. You no longer control your fate. Instead, you go in there with a 2-game cushion. This was an enormous game. McGill versus Weaver? I mean, this was a huge, huge game for the New York Mets. And the way he managed it. With the urgency. I said Weaver. I knew I was a Wheeler. Against Wheeler, one of the best right-handed pitchers in the league. Like, to go to that bullpen and then to have guys like Maton give you two shutout innings. I mean, this is a guy who they acquired just before the deadline who was not pitching well for Houston. Like, this was like the moves the GM has made, too. Like, let's be honest. For his first year here, Stearns has done an incredible job with this team. The pitching staff is almost exclusively one-year deals. I mean, I know that's not entirely true. But, I mean, just the home runs hit from Severino, who's going to start this series in Atlanta, and Manaea, who's going to end it as your ace, who's pitching his ass off. Then to go out and get Maton and you know, some of the other smaller moves and not trade away a lot of the pieces that guys like me, and I'm sure many Met fans were clamoring for, do more. Do more. Go get Blake Snell. Do more. Do more. And who knows? Maybe with Blake Snell, they would already clinch a spot or be battling for a division. I don't know. But to just get Winker and to get, it just felt like, eh. And they've all been so impactful. They've all been so impactful. But this bullpen, the job this bullpen did last night and the job the manager did last night, to go to Maton for two innings, then to go to Buto. I figured Buto would have been the first guy out for the more bulk innings. But he goes to Maton, then he goes to Buto, and then he decides to bring in Diaz off of four outs the night before, knowing you have the day off tomorrow or later today. And he comes in for, and it wasn't easy, and he gives up a bloop single to Turner. He walks a couple guys, and this is how you know the Mets season is charmed. And don't take that as some sort of a knock, because it's special to be charmed. As I told Sean when I filled in the afternoon a couple weeks ago, and he had no idea what the term meant, luck is the residue of design. You have to be good to be lucky. You have to do the right things to be lucky. You have to put yourself in a position to be lucky. And the amount of things that have started to happen for this team, like Alvarez throwing a third on the stolen base and the ball hitting the base and popping straight up in the air, instead of taking a dramatic left turn towards the dugout, instead of rolling out into left center field, it just pops straight up in the air. Like, those are the kind of things that you point to that special teams have. And this Met team, it just feels special. I called them dead in June, right? I said I had a real tough time thinking this team could overcome a four-game deficit to the Atlanta Braves 3 weeks ago. And here they are, two games up, just enough. The pitching, you get a home run from Nimmo on a night where it seemed like nothing was leaving the ballpark in that direction. The wind blowing in, you get a home run off of Wheeler. That's all you need against this Philly team? With McGill going four innings? And then you get to Diaz, who, I mean, the up and down nature of this guy's season. Think about where this guy was, right? Obviously coming back off the injury, starts the year off relatively well, but, you know, the blown save, bad performance here or there. But everyday average closer stuff, not looking like the world-class closer he was 2 years ago, but doing a decent enough job, right? Then he starts to really struggle. Then he gets the sticky stuff. Then he gets an injury. He loses his closer job. He has brutal loss after brutal loss, including a couple weeks ago against against Arizona, where he blows the save in heartbreaking fashion, which I guess all blown saves are heartbreaking fashion, but he gives... You know, he gives up that game in Arizona. He battles right back. And now he's at the point where at least the confidence is back. He's doing it mainly with fastballs. Like, you know, he hasn't really incorporated the slider as much as when he was going as well as he was 2 years ago. But still, right now, the fastball's electric. He's pinpoint with it right now. He's got all the confidence in the world. And he just went through 10 outs over the last two games to secure victories to guarantee them a two-game lead against Atlanta. I mean, it's just remarkable. And whether it's, you know, Reed Garrett, who's kind of reestablished himself as one of the better bullpen arms in this bullpen, Buto and the weapon he can be, you know, short relief in this game, but can give you multiple innings. The starting rotation, who we're going to see in Atlanta starting on Tuesday, you're going to see Severino, Peterson, and Manaea. And that's without Quintana, who's on a 20-something scoreless inning streak? Like, it's crazy what this rotation is right now. It's crazy. Now, Peterson's been shaky his last two outings. You know, the manager's showing faith in him. Mendy's showing faith in him. He's been one of, if not, you know, their second-best starter, right behind Manaea, over the last 3 months since he's come back from the injury. Even though he's, you know, his last two have been his worst two. But, I mean, just this team, they find ways to win. Whether it's scoring the 10 runs if they need it or if it's just pitching their ass off. This rotation's incredible. But this game, I thought Mendoza handled this, just managed this game perfectly. Just perfectly. They want to win. I love the comments in the post game too. And then obviously the game starts with the Alonso stuff. And, you know, the Alonso situation is, it's not that he doesn't deserve the tip of the cap in the moment, but it just feels like he does. I mean, I guess he does, and I love the crowd reaction, and I was listening a little bit. I didn't get a chance to listen to the whole thing, but I heard a little bit of Evan's Rico Bronya, and he talked about how, you know, he couldn't tip the cap fast enough. He was at the game, and it was almost like the crowd barely had started cheering before the cap went up. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen it before. I mean, we Yankee fans have seen it before. Paul O'Neill, I know it's a different situation. Paul O'Neill was around for longer, won championships and all that. But, I mean, in the moment of the World Series was overshadowed by chance for Paul O'Neill. But in the moment right now, you need Alonso to hit more than you need him to tip his cap. And I'm not worried about his, you know, free agency at the moment, nor do I think he is. But, again, what do you have, 3 strikeouts in this game? I know he had a couple clutch moments. He had the big night against Washington with the bloop single and the home run. But, again, still not really doing enough, even though they're winning. And he has an opportunity against Atlanta. Have a monster series. Hit 2 or 3 home runs in this Atlanta series and help them win and celebrate and pour champagne all over yourself, which I know you will be extremely, just absolutely weirdo with it. There's no doubt. You know, Met fans, it's coming. Hopefully it is for you. When that champagne gets poured, you know there's going to be a moment where you're like, Pete, just calm it down, Pete. You're out of your mind. Like, you know it's coming. You're going to be like, my God, this guy's a weirdo. But that's him. But, I mean, right now I'm not focused on Pete Alonso. And it's about the Mets and where they are right now. And I think they have an excellent manager. I think they have an excellent pitching staff. And I think they have a lineup top to bottom that's as good as anyone. Now, it's been slumping at times. It's been hot or it's been boom or bust over the last few weeks where they had that stretch of 10 runs in 3 straight games. But besides that, not a ton of offense. Alvarez has woken up a little bit. You like to see that. Obviously, Acuna has been unbelievable stepping in for Lindor. And there's a conversation to be had about Lindor, which we will have all week long. This is going to be a Met-centric week as this series against Atlanta is the biggest in town, without question. And, you know, he's still feeling his lower back. I don't know if he's going to see him. Like, it's like this stuff is no, you don't joke around with a back, man. We have seen countless careers. Now, I don't think we don't know if he has a significant injury like that, but if he's feeling pain and he can't bend down, and he's talking about getting it unlocked and letting it go and the medicine. Like it scares me that Lindor, as he said yesterday, if he plays again this year. Now, I don't think he meant it to say it that way, but that's what he said. If he plays again this year, it will not be pain-free. And right now, they've won 6 of 7 without him. Like, you want to talk about resiliency and the way this team bounces back. They bounce back from losses. They bounce back from, like, obviously gut-wrenching losses. They bounce back inside games for, you know, and respond in the same inning they gave up runs. Like, they constantly respond, and now they've even responded to what we all thought would have been a devastating injury. And have won 6 of 7, including 3 of 4 against Philadelphia, without their MVP. Like, this Met team has something special going on. And no further proof than that ball bouncing straight up in the air. Because I'm telling you, we've seen it a million times. That ball goes flying towards the dugout. That's what happens. That ball hits the base, bounces over Vientos' head, and goes out into left field, and that game's tied. You know that's what happens, Met fans. You know it. And did they get lucky? Hell yes, they got lucky, but it's not about that. It's about deserving that luck. It's about doing everything right. I don't know if you want to baseball gods or whatever, but I'm telling you, man, Christopher Lloyd kicked that ball straight up in the air. I'm positive. He was there wearing his American League hat. That ball was destined for left center field, and Christopher Lloyd played hacky sack with it. I'm positive. And if you don't get the Angels in the outfield reference, I feel sorry for you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Just an incredible win for the New York Mets and all the good feelings around it. And now I am so pumped. And if I you know what? I got to talk to Evan. Maybe I'll pre-record with him or something. I got to talk to him. The idea that you are not, like, looking forward to the moment where you have a one-run lead to win the division, two runners on in the ninth inning, Diaz, you know, pitching to whoever, pick your poison. Like, the idea that you're not looking forward to that drives me, it's crazy to me. This is fun. Pennant race baseball is fun. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Before I get to the Met thing, real quick, you know, I wouldn't be surprised given how yesterday's football went. I think the Giants absolutely can win that game on Thursday. I mean, who would have figured that Denver was going to beat Tampa? I mean, I'm like, what the heck am I watching here?
Yeah, I mean,
this is all sorts of weird.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't the biggest shock to me. I know they were banged up, but the idea that San Francisco blew that game to L.A. was the Rams.
That's
I mean,
another one.
They don't have Puka Nacua. They don't have Cup. Like, how the heck can you blow a lead in that game? I have no idea. Not to get into the conversation, but if you look at Denver, Denver actually played really good defense. They just needed Bo Nix to actually have some semblance of offense. I mean, and I don't believe Tampa Bay is all that good. But yes, there's over the first 3 weeks, there's been a lot of surprising games. There's no doubt.
Yep. Look, now I can certainly understand what Evan's talking about as far as the tension part of it, you know, for the, what, you know, with the way the season's ending with the Mets. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't exactly say that it's not fun. I mean, it's a lot of nail biting. Sure. It's, and I've been saying to whoever I've been speaking to, you know, the you, Hoff, Al, you know, that it's going to be, you know, right down to the end, I believe, truly. But there's such a difference. Now, you mentioned the look a second ago. I mean, how different does this season feel than even 2 years ago when they were so dominant for the majority of the season? But the last month and a half, I mean, you just felt like it was slipping. I mean, no matter what they did, it just felt like it was slipping away.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves series, which they never recovered from. I mean, that's the that series at the end of the year. That I mean, that's and they have an opportunity to.
Well, that was the nail in the coffin, but I mean, yeah. But it was, I mean, you knew though, I mean, the way they weren't beating anybody in September, and that was supposed to be their easy schedule. I mean, just, you know, you could feel it coming. I mean, you know, now, right. I mean, you know, yes, they have some hiccups here and there, and, you know, like, what was it, Friday's game, you know, they took a pounding there. Okay, it happens. But you don't get the sense that they're going to,
They've earned that, Eric. They've earned the feeling of being positive. There's no doubt about it. I know there's so many pessimistic Met fans, and, you know, like you just said, you can go back 2 years and the Atlanta Braves ripped their heart out, and they've been ripping their heart out for damn near 3 decades.
Many years.
So I mean, it's and that's real. That is real.
Right.
And so I would understand any Met fan who would feel that way. But honestly, this Met team has given you enough reason to feel good about this series. Like, they just have. And right now, you're gonna get Severino, Peterson, and Minaya. And, I Minaya as that final game, as sort of that last, case scenario where if you lose the first two, at least you got Minaya there for that third game. I mean, that's how you head into this. Like, you want to win the series and celebrate, but you've put yourself in a position where only the sweep kills you. Only the sweep kills
you. Right. And, look, I will say, because I did bring it up the other day, I'm a little concerned about Peterson, only because, I'm thinking maybe he's getting a little tired. Now, they do have the off day, which helps. But, of course, too, I'm sorry?
No, I was saying they could have pitched Quintana in the series instead. It could have been Quintana, Severino, and Minaya. Right. They could have went that way. They're not doing that. If you look at it, I heard Evan talking about this too. To be fair, I got it from Evan. Some of the Brave players have really good numbers individually against Quintana, and if they are needing games in Milwaukee, they've had a real tough time with left-handed pitching. But I mean, Peterson's left-handed too.
Right, so, that makes sense. I mean, and that's a case where you do rely on numbers, and which I have no problem with that.
Yeah, he's playing a matchup.
Yeah, exactly. So. But look, I mean, I definitely, and now, granted, now last night being a night game, I mean, my schedule is tough to stay up. I was a little nervous with the way they were, Atlanta scored the first run off of a couple of dinks and whatever. But, after the Mets tied it up, I felt kind of good.
Yeah.
And, I missed the home run. I did see the highlight. I mean, that was a no doubt. Jeez. And Nimmo can,
and you mentioned the Mets. How good has Tyrone Taylor been? I mean, this guy.
Oh, they've like you said.
It's amazing. Incredible. You can't get Iglesias out in a big spot. This is a guy. This is a journeyman middle infielder. Past 30, who gets called up, and you can't get him out in a big spot. I mean, literally, he had so much faith in his baseball career, he started making music. And now you cannot get him out. Tyrone Taylor has been unbelievable, deserves, how do you take him out of the lineup? How do you take Acuna out of the lineup, even if Lindor gets healthy? It's unbelievable what they're able to do. Vientos, ice cold for a long time. I know he hit the home run against Washington, but ice cold, struck out 5 times on Saturday. On Saturday. Comes through with the double in this game to get it started. Like, they just have something about them, man. They're just one of those teams where it's starting to feel. I mean, forget all the nonsense of Grimace, who, by the way, my son claims he hates the Mets. And again, I did not instill that in him at all. If you've heard me talk about it, he's a Kansas City Chiefs football fan because he's a front-running little kid. We went to go see the Orioles. He cheered for the Orioles that day. Like, I'm not going to be one of these guys to insist. We watch the Yankees. I take him to Yankee games. I buy him Yankee clothes. But if he wants to root for another team, I'm not going to hate him or get on him for it. But he's a Yankee fan. And he claims he hates the Mets really only because his cousin, who's a year older, talks trash about the Yankees because his father has instilled in him to hate the Yankees. So they all of a sudden now, because they fight about it, now he hates the Mets. But because my wife is my wife and we're already asking, what do you want to be for Halloween? Because, we're like a month and a half out or a month out or so. So you got to already know exactly what the boys want to be for Halloween. And you got to ask them 10 times a day. But ask my son, what he wants to be for Halloween? He says Grimace. And I'm like, no, you're not going to be Grimace. Why? You said like something related to baseball. I'm like, yeah, but you say the Mets. It's not about the Mets. Grimace is a baseball fan. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not being Grimace. Stop it. A New York rapper came in here and called me Grimace. You're not going to be a Grimace. You're not going to be Grimace. Although I do have a cheap out for a Halloween costume. There's one laying around here somewhere. But whether it's Grimace or it's OMG or whatever it is, forget all that. Like, forget all that nonsense. Like, that's fun. There's magic between the lines. Like, you don't have to have a purple seat in the outfield. Like, the magic with this team is between the lines. It's every single unknown journeyman, you know, fifth, sixth outfielder type player coming in and having big hit after big hit and big moment after big moment. It's Sean Manaea reinventing his career here. A guy who was relegated to the bullpen last year. Severino, who I uttered the words, the Yankees aren't serious about winning if they pitch Severino again. I said that this time last year. Like, they lost their ace, who in Kodai Senga, who has been shut down again with tricep soreness. Say, just why are we trying this? You have the best rotation in the world. Why are you trying to shoehorn in an injured ace? I don't understand it. Leave it alone. He's done. But the magic is between the lines with these guys. Maton. Who? Who? I mean, Buto becomes a weapon out of the bullpen. I mean, you lose Nunez, doesn't hurt you. Like, it's just, it's really crazy what's going on with the New York Mets. It's absolutely, you lose Lindor, you win 6 of 7. Against Philadelphia. All right, yeah, I know you beat up on Washington. Philadelphia came in looking to celebrate in your building, and you know they want to. You heard that dopey song they sang last year, and especially the Mets. As they're, you know, putting beers in their back pocket. They wanted to celebrate at Citi Field. They're as good a team as baseball has to offer. And you took 3 out of 4, beating them with, you know, fourth and fifth outfielders, a rookie prospect who everybody told me wasn't ready for Major League Baseball a month ago. Pitchers who are on one-year contracts that were signed to be traded. Bullpen pieces that, you know, failed everywhere else. And a closer who was injured, banned for, you know, banished for a week, 10 days for sticky stuff, miserable, lost his job, got it back, blown saves. 4 outs, no problem. 6 outs, no problem. Like, it's just crazy. It's crazy. Balls bouncing off bases right back to the third base. Like, these things don't happen. So enjoy it, Met fans, because this series, it would be devastating. Here's the thing that comes with that, though. You got to win this series. Everyone can say, I heard Laurie say it as I was driving in. It's totally true. What a fun season this Met fan, the Mets have given their fan base. Whatever happens, that I don't agree with. Now you can no longer say whatever happens. You are 2 games up heading into play Atlanta. You are better than they are. They're banged up. You might be better than them even if they weren't. You're a better baseball team right now than the Atlanta Braves. You've played better than they have for a month. You made up 6 games in less than a month. You are 4 games back. You're 2 games up. They're banged up. They're losing games. They can't beat the Reds. They can't beat, although they won 2 out of 3 in the series, they lost a bad game to the Marlins. Like, you're sweeping the Nats. That's probably because they're out gambling and stuff. But still, you're sweeping the Nats. You're taking 3 out of 4 from Philadelphia. They can't beat the Marlins all 3. You are the better team. I'm sorry. If this season ends in Atlanta or in Milwaukee, but because of this Atlanta series, if this is the same hurdle you can't get over that stops you again, you cannot look back in this season and say, wow, what fun we had. Oh, what fun it was. Do you remember when we had no expectations and out of nowhere, Lindor had this MVP season? I mean, we had so many, Grimace and OMG, it was so much fun. We said goodbye to Pete. A lot of great stuff went on that series. Season. Nope. Nope. The season will be remembered for blowing it against Atlanta. Now, I don't think they will. I honestly believe they're going to do it. But they better. Otherwise, you can get all this nonsense about, hey, look what they've given us. They overachieved. If they were in the American League West, they'd win the division. I don't care. Who cares? The Mets have got to be playing playoff baseball. They have to be in this wild card series. If they're not, and it's Atlanta again that does it to them, there's a lot of pressure. They needed to win that game last night because they needed that cushion heading into the series, and the manager managed like it. He managed that game like the seventh game of the World Series. He went to his closer for 6 outs after the closer gave 4 the day before. 888-808-1019. We'll still take your Giant calls. I see Stu's on the line. We could talk baseball, Yankee baseball, that is, if you'd like. They are about to hopefully win the division in one of these games. They just need one more game to win the division. They need 3 more. The magic number is 3 for the best record in the American League, which, again, for all the talk and all the nonsense and all of this and all of that, if they accomplish that, they're heading in with their best team, and they couldn't have done better. They could have won 110 games. They could have won 120 games. We would be feeling the exact same way about them. Yeah, sure, great regular season. They look good. Can they hit in the playoffs? That's what we would say no matter. They could have won 145 games. That's what we would say. But they have pretty much a meaningless series against the Orioles coming up, and the entire world will hang on the balance to the Met game Tuesday night. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
12. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
If you're an HVAC contractor, you need a brand of equipment that won't let you down. Visit becomeadealer.com/train to learn why Train has been named America's most trusted HVAC brand 10 years in a row. Visit becomeadealer.com/train today and learn why it's hard to stop a train.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What the hell? Let me be a little bit of a pessimistic bad guy here for a second. Because every time something like this happens, I'm not sure if Rami asked me the exact question that I kind of answered or not, but like, just the idea of like, you know, because people ask, oh, but it's good for the station, right? Like, or like, oh, the shows, oh, you want everyone playing in the playoffs, right? I'm like, yeah, of course I do. That's what we want, right? It's good for the station if they win. I'm taken back to a interview with Mike and Chris. And it was, I guess it had to be, you know, 2008. I guess right before, I think they, like that summer was the last summer. So it was like right before they split and Dog went to radio, Sirius. And they were asked that question about sports radio and feeding off the callers and feeding off negativity. And I just remember Mike saying in the interview, what the Giants just did as they went on the road and beat the Cowboys, then they beat Brett Favre and the Packers, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady and Belichick and the undefeated Patriots. He's like, what an incredible Super Bowl run, unlike anything we've ever seen. That's a 9 out of 10 for us. And then he said, but the Mets blowing a 7-game lead with 17 to play, that's a 10. And so in my mind, it's just, you got to do it. You got to do it. Otherwise, it'll start to feed on itself. Right now, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling positive about this team. How could you not? They've earned that. They deserve our positivity. They lose the first game of the series, and Severino gets hit around. And they get, beat, soundly, 7-3. There is going to be a panic here. It's going to set in rather quickly.
I think Severino pitched that game that Susan said on the Yankee broadcast, God, this is boring, last year on the Yankee broadcast in Atlanta.
Oh, when they were getting killed?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was, you can't even take anything into account last year.
I know, but
everyone would have beat him. But, yeah, they have to do this. You can't lose it now. Because the Mets having this unbelievable run, right from the wild card to the NLDS, NLCS, however far it goes, having this unbelievable season, 11 games under 500, going on this incredible run, best record in baseball since June, and capping it off with a resounding victory against the Atlanta Braves and celebrating in their building is a 9 out of 10. You know what a 10 out of 10 is? We don't want that. We don't want that.
Yes, the Yankees blowing the division.
That's right, yes. The Yankees losing 6 straight and the Orioles winning 6 straight. Yes, that would be a 10 out of 10, no doubt. But the Yankees still have an opportunity in the postseason. If they lose, then they would have to lose the wild card series. But yes, that would be bad. Alan in Rockland County. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how are you, C-Max? So I have a 2 Mets-related question.
Yeah.
The first one is, do you have more confidence now in Severino, Peterson, and Manaea than you did 2 years ago in DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett?
It's a good question. Obviously, the names, I always had faith in DeGrom. If he's healthy and on the mound, I would take him over anyone I've ever seen pitch. So I've always said that. I've always felt that. I've never seen better. In my personal eyes, I have never watched a more dominant, better pitcher than Jacob DeGrom. So I would have, you tell me you could have Jacob DeGrom or Manaea, I'll take Jacob DeGrom. I don't care. But yes, overall, those three, I feel better about this team. But even as great as the pitching is, you remember Scherzer, now it's easy to go back and go, oh my God, Scherzer, this is a disaster. And he was terrible in that start, terrible in the postseason, and then bad to start the year last year, all of it. He came back from injury one start prior to that series. And if I remember correctly, I got to go double check it, he had a no-hitter into the sixth or seventh inning. So he was coming off an injury. He did have that kind of type of season where there was multiple stops on the IL. But he came back, I think it was one game or maybe it was two games, but the game right before that Atlanta series, he had a no-hitter into the seventh. He was dominant, and he had a great year. And DeGrom's DeGrom. So, yeah, I would tell you I was probably more confident with that rotation than I am with this rotation, as good as it's been. But I'm less confident in this Braves team, and I'm more confident in over – that Braves team was obviously much better. They had won 100 – they were on their way to winning 101 games. This Braves team is all banged up. So, yes, I would have trusted that rotation more than I trust this Met rotation, as good as it's been. But they're pitching to an inferior, compared to that group, Braves team. And overall, I just trust this team so much more.
Right. The second question was, I was very perplexed. Maybe you could explain it to me. I was like, why are they showing Kyle Schwarber, a visiting player? We're not in Philadelphia. We're at Citi Field. They're showing him in a batting cage. And I'm like, all right, that makes no sense, but fine. Then they're not saying, well, I put it up to 99 or 100 so I can get ready for Diaz or something. You don't learn anything from it. It's a visiting player. then he strikes out not even swinging, and they don't make a joke like, hey, I guess the batting cage didn't help. But what was the point of that? It seemed very odd.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the point of any of these interviews are, to be totally honest with you. I thought it was particularly terrible, though. I agree with you. He's looking on the tablet, then he's looking up at some TV. He's half answering the question. Like, I thought it was a particularly awful interview. Now, typically, you're right. I believe it is typically a home player. I don't know if every Met said no. I believe you get like 10 grand. So I'd be surprised if Met players said no, but maybe they just felt like they couldn't be distracted in this kind of game. And Schwarber was willing to do it because can't be distracted in the dugout, although he tried in the clubhouse, although he tried his best to look it. So I'm not sure. But honestly, I've never cared for any of them. There are good, there are better ones. There are some good ones. There are some bad ones. There's ones where, you know, guys tell stories of, you know, their fathers assaulting them on a baseball field, and you're like, well, that was interesting. And then there's sometimes where they say absolutely nothing, and you're just like, why did we bother? And that's most of the time. That's most of the time. Especially with that broadcast booth. I'm sorry. And I love David Cohen. Love him. Love him. It's a tough broadcast booth. And I don't get hung up on it. People hate, like, it's amazing to me how people hate broadcasters. I don't understand it. Like, I'm not even kidding. I had a buddy text me, again, we're in this group chat with my friends, immediately, the first, like, the game had barely started last night. I get, Collinsworth is already pissing me off. And I'm like, why do we hate these national announcers? I don't understand it. I get it when it's your, like, when the Mets are playing on a national broadcast, you're like, where's my guys? Like, we have the best group in baseball. We love, you know, Ron, Keith, and Gary. Why, you want them. So I get that. But, like, oh, my God. And I have to admit, I think John Smoltz does toe that line where, you know, most fans think that, oh, he hates our team, and most of the time it's nonsense. I mean, you know, the Yankees kept them from winning multiple championships. Maybe that's a perception because of that. But even I feel it a little bit, but still. There's good, there's bad, and then really there's indifference. Like, I don't care. If I have to turn down the volume, I turn down the volume. Like, it's just, who cares?
But that's the problem. If it distracts enough from the game that you have to turn down
the
volume.
Yeah, I mean, it very rarely does. But that interview in particular, I agree, was bad. Like, it looked like a home run derby type thing. Like, where he was going to be interviewed while he was taking swings for the home run derby or something. Like, it was just stupid.
Do you think he's taking those swings anyway, or he needed to seem busy because usually they do it with a fielder?
Yeah, so. Well, I think that's, yeah, maybe no fielder wanted to do it in these games that mean so much. Like, maybe that's, because we have seen mistakes made in the field, so maybe no fielder was willing to do it. So they're like, oh, we'll give it to the DH because we can't impact his play. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Christopher, what's happening?
What's
man?
Up, buddy? How are you?
Now, you got to refer to him this week as Danny Dimes, you know.
Okay.
You have to give him a little credit.
I gave him credit.
You're doing a little backpedaling, you know, as you normally do. You're the king of backpedaling. Didn't you have the Mets out in April?
If you say so. No, June 3rd, to be precise. Dead on June 3rd.
I thought it was like, you know, February 1st or something like that.
I predicted them to win the third wild card. June 3rd, I had them dead.
I'm not a big guy of tooting my own horn, but you brought up, Bo Nix.
Yes.
And I'm the one that told you if you wanted a quarterback and the best one in the draft, you could trade down and get him.
Well,
you scoffed as you normally do.
I know. Well, I mean,
Darren Daniels.
After not being able to move the football at all. For the first 2 weeks, he had a pretty decent game. So congratulations. You're right. And I'm sure you won't have to backpedal off of that comment whatsoever.
No, I'm not going to
I'm sure he's going to just be tremendous.
So I want to know how you... Right now, do you think the Giants season is in Daniel Jones's hands or Dable's hands with his coaching technique?
Probably more Dable's hands.
Right.
Yeah.
And can I say something, Chris? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I never come across a diehard, diehard Giant fan that toots the Jets' horn so much that it's almost throw up, make someone want to vomit.
Yeah.
When was the last time a Giants fan runs around going and blowing the horn of the Jets? Can we get a Jet chant out of you? Because that's where you're going.
I've always been an Aaron Rodgers admirer. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. And I like to watch good football. And I have to watch the Jets, and I have no problem rooting for the Jets whatsoever. They play the Giants every 4 years. Why would I dislike the Jets? They've never cost me an ounce of pain.
What are you going to do then?
I'm going to root. I'm going to root
when Aaron Rodgers.
What you going to do, brother, when Aaron Rodgers runs out of? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to root for the Jets, and they won't be as good.
I won't be able to
toot the horn as loud.
What is the McConnell's giving out for Halloween? That's what I want to know.
We're going to hit your neighbor. I think we're going to go with candy. Me and my wife are going back and forth on it, but I'm going to go with candy. What are you talking about? You and Brett have the same like weird thing. I'm not allowed to root for the Jets. You guys are. I don't care what anybody thinks. Like I honestly don't. When they play the Giants, I hope they lose by 100. When they play anybody else, why do I care? Why do I have to hate the Jets? I'll never understand this. They're a New York team. I watched them even before I did this. I watched the Jets you'd watch the Giants, you'd watch the Jets. That was football. Before the red zone, before anything else, I watched the Giants, and the team I watched the second most was the New York Jets. They've never cost me an ounce of pain. I've never once been like, oh, my God, the Jets are killing me. Like, they've never beaten my team in a big spot. They're hardly ever good at the same time. I know for a Jet fan, at least, you know, you could point to the Victor Cruz game, which you can. And listen, from that moment, one team went one way and the other franchise went the other direction. The Giants won that football game. Why do I have to hate the Jets? Because they share a stadium? Why? They're not real rivals. There's no rivalry whatsoever. They play once every 4 years, and I'll tell you something else. Nobody wants to admit it, and because the dynamic of the... Nobody wants to agree with me. Because of the dynamic of the Met fan, Yankee fan, which is much different than the dynamic of the Giant fan, Jet fan, I will tweak the Met fan and have fun at their expense. And I admit sometimes if the Yankees lose, I root for misery and I'll kind of root for the Mets to lose, sort of, because I'm just in a bad mood and screw the world. But I am honestly pulling for the Mets in this series. I honestly want the Mets to make the playoffs. I honestly want to see the Mets in the World Series against the Yankees. And then I want them to lose 50-0 every game of the World Series. That's how I don't understand. They're not rivals. I'm a Ranger fan. I know I put on a jersey because I went to the game and I got, you know, the owner asked me to do it, so I did it. Whatever you want to say. But I don't like the Islanders. They battle for a division. I hate the Devils. They've sent me home. The Yankees have played the Mets in one meaningful, real meaningful series in my history, and the Yankees won in 5. I don't hate the Mets. I don't hate the Jets. They're not, I mean, especially the Jets. Like, I don't understand it. When the Jets are awful, I say they're awful. When I think they're going to be good, I think they're going to be good. And I'm enjoying it. I want to watch good football. I want to watch Aaron Rodgers play. I want to see the Jets be successful. Why not? I'm not tooting the horn. I'm telling you what I think. Last year I killed the quarterback situation. I killed the general manager for allowing him to be the backup. I killed the team. Killed them. I killed them for throwing parties when Mike White was the quarterback. Like, I've killed the Jets when they deserve killing. I happen to think they're really good now. It's not tooting the horn. It's telling you what I think. I don't understand it. You people are weird, man. Like, honestly. I get it from some of my friends too. Like, what is, and I remember, again, I'll forget, Paul, Ferrara.
Jerry
Ferrara. Entourage fame, Turtle, who came in, he filled in one day, and he said, he's a Yankee fan, he's a Jet fan and he's a Knick fan. And his the team he hates the most is the New York Jets. That boggles my mind. That boggles my mind. I think he said, like, over anyone. Like, over the Boston Red Sox. Over the Dallas Cowboys. Over the Philadelphia Eagles. And I don't want to say that for sure because I'm not positive if that's true. But certainly the most other hated New York team. Why in the world would you hate the Jets? They don't play. They might as well be in two different leagues. Like, who cares? Other than Rex Ryan hanging up green and covering up trophies, like, that was 100 years ago. Who gives a damn? Never met a Giant fan who tooted the Jets' horn so much. Like, because I thought Aaron Rodgers played well on Thursday? Because I think they have a team that's capable of going and a championship? Like, what? Dumb. 888-808-1019. 2 hours down, one more to go. Take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Mets, Braves. After taking 3 or 4 from the Phillies, that sets up a huge series. The Mets continue to pitch. The Mets continue to have these miracle. It's balls bouncing off bases in the right direction. Just journeyman, you can't get out in clutch situations. Just one hell of a ride for the New York Mets, but it can't end. It cannot end against Atlanta this week. And then, of course, the Giants and their victory yesterday. Daniel Jones played extremely well, but I thought it was a great day for Dable, and obviously Malik Nabers is a superstar in the making, and the guy is incredible, and he specifically helps Daniel Jones in this offense better than anyone else ever could. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back with your calls next.
It's boom. All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.